My name is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. Welcome to Inside United. This is a place where we can talk to all kinds of interesting people in the United Church of God and those who cross paths with us. Today we're on the road in South Africa, in the KwaZulu-Natal area at the home of Roy Dumont. He's the pastor of churches in Durban, Johannesburg, Cape Town, Bloemfontein, Port Elizabeth, East London. He'll talk to us about that. Welcome, Roy.
Yes, thank you for inviting me on this podcast of yours.
The place where you live out here is absolutely one of the most beautiful places on the earth. We're looking out the window right now at the scenery of your farmland, which is almost 100% sugarcane.
I'm now a fourth generation farmer in South Africa. I'm a civil engineer turned farmer, but I've been farming since 1971, which makes it probably 48 years. And my grandfather and then my father and myself, we've all been businessmen at the same time. I've also created a sawmill, so I've been running a sawmill as well. It hasn't been easy. It's been a lifetime work building it up, borrowing money and buying the piece of land next door and so on. And I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and I just think it's a beautiful country to live in.
Well, I know that just speaking about South Africa to an American mind conjures up sometimes fearful thoughts about the political climate of this country, about what the future of just not only surviving economically is, but also of the freedom of religion and so forth. Give us a take on that, Roy.
Yes, we are very fortunate in this country in that we have a relatively new constitution drafted in 1994, when we became a true democracy in this country. And it's regarded as one of the best and certainly one of the most liberal in the world. And fortunately, this constitution guarantees us religious freedom, which is a tremendous step forward. We didn't have this before. Before, in the old days, we had great difficulty in getting our children off away from school to attend holy days, whereas now it's a relatively simple process. I'm able to give people, as pastor for South Africa, I'm able to give people a letter, and then they are guaranteed the opportunity to write their exams on a day that suits them, which if it's not a Sabbath or a holy day, it obviously doesn't suit them. And from that point of view, we're very, very fortunate in that we have this religious freedom guaranteed to us by our constitution.
Well, there are two big things that we hear about South Africa in the United States. These are the things that make the news. First of all, having your land repossessed. We've heard about it in Zimbabwe. We've known of people who have had native populations come and take over farms that have been in the family for generations.
Well, the difference is that in South Africa, illegal land invasions are frowned upon by the authorities, and illegal land invasions are not really a factor. It's the legal land invasions that are our problem, because the left-wing political parties are pushing very hard before these elections, which come up in May this year, pushing very hard for expropriation without compensation. Now, the farm on which I farm was bought in 1880 and was paid for in 1890. I've spent my whole working life, which means 50 years, developing from nothing a farm and adding on, and as I said, borrowing money to buy the next piece of land and developing that from nothing. And that's been a lifetime's work. And it should never be a land claim. There should never be a land claim on that. I have land claims on my farm. But it goes further than that, because now they're trying to push through Parliament this question of expropriation without compensation, which makes huge problems, gives us huge problems, and it means our future is not secure. It is considered by a lot of political analysts that this is just rhetoric before the elections, but we can't guarantee that. So we are living under a sword of Damocles.
We also have with us Vivian Botha.
Hi, my name, as Victor said, is Vivian Botha. I pronounce it Botha.
Vivian, I would like to hear from you about the economy and the ability to work and to be able to do business, you know, from where you're at in Cape Town.
I think in the country at the moment, the atmosphere or the mood is quite negative. What Roy has been talking about, it kind of influences what people want to do, whether they're going to buy a property or sell property. I think a lot of people just kind of hanging on to see what is going to happen. I think generally, and recently we've had a series of what they call load shedding, where our electricity service provider, there is only one in the country, shuts down for, depending on what phase they're in, I think there's phase one, two, I think it goes up to five at the moment. Depending what phase they're in, they'll shut the electricity down for 2 hours, either once a day, twice a day, three
like
times a day.
Like a rolling blackout?
Yeah.
They just share it.
Yeah. And I think that is, I heard a figure, which I can't remember how many millions a day that is costing.
I'm talking about 12 billion rand that have been lost just with this load shedding over a short period.
Which only lasted about 2 weeks, I think. I was speaking to a good friend of ours who has a printing company, and he was saying it's not sustainable because they have to, we get a schedule of the load shedding, so we know when it's going to happen. So as a printer, he's saying they have to shut their machines down up to half an hour before. They've got to start shutting them down, cleaning them up, wait through the load shedding, and then it takes another half an hour to an hour setting it up again so they can carry on printing. And he's saying it makes it so difficult, and you can see exactly where the money is being lost because it's completely unproductive time.
Now, one other subject that is on the minds of people in the United States is about violence in South Africa and horror stories about, you know, shootings and burglaries and, you know, violent types of things. What about that?
Yeah, it's a problem. It's a very violent country, and it's become a country that disregards laws completely. So the authorities will tell you that there isn't a higher incidence of murders on farms than in the rest of the country, but statistics prove quite clearly that there was a far higher incidence of murders on farms, not only the farm owners, but the farm workers as well. But it is a problem. We do look after our security in that we have secure fair electric fences and alarms in our homes, and that way we feel fairly secure. But it is a problem. Crime is out of control. And when we travel to countries like Australia, for example, we're absolutely shocked at the law-abiding culture in a place like Australia. And when we get back home, the shock is just unbelievable when we see how we no longer in this country abide by laws at all. And it is a violent society, and it is a crime-ridden society. But I also venture to suggest that there aren't many countries in the world that aren't suffering from that problem.
Well, I know in the United States, which is similar to Australia, when we have visitors from Africa come to our home, they're just shocked by the fact that we have no fence or we have no security in our house. And we have also found that working in these countries here, that unless we put up security walls, alarms, dogs, wire, you know, every possible, you know, contraption to disinterest would-be burglars and so forth, it's going to happen to you. It's just a matter of time. We've had in our project 3 burglaries in the last month and a half since January, and we're finding out that unless we put up these walls and these security systems, we're going to get hit. I suppose the same is true in Cape Town.
I think it is. It hasn't always been the case. I think Cape Town has been for a long time considered a little more safe than, for example, further north in Johannesburg, Pretoria, for example. But the crime is spreading. Kathy and I live in a beautiful little town, Franschhoek. It's a town that's known for its vineyards. It's in the winelands of the Cape. We've lived there 12 or 13 years. And in that time, we've seen an increase in crime in this little town. It used to be pretty much the kind of town where you didn't have to lock your doors, but it has become that. We have to be a lot more conscious because there have been more and more incidents in town. And it's opportunistic crime, it's petty crime, just people seeing a gap or an open door, an open window, and going in and stealing things. But I think the concern is that a lot of the crime it comes with violence. It's not just a matter of being pickpocketed or robbed or burgled. Invariably there's a violent crime involved where people get beaten up or or even killed sometimes.
I went to Cape Town, one routine visit to Cape Town Church, and I stopped on the seashore to have my meat pie for lunch, and I didn't think that I was the only car on this particular parking area overlooking the sea. And before I realized what had happened, two young guys accosted me, and the one had a knife at my throat, and he tripped me and threw me down on the ground, and the other one went to the car, and the ignition key was still in the door of the car. So he opened the door and took my briefcase, and the other guy who had me on the ground with a knife at my throat, he was threatening me, and I just said to him, well, take my watch, take whatever you want, just leave me alone. And they were nervous because they thought that another vehicle was going to drive in off the main road onto the parking area, and so they ran off. So I lost my briefcase and I lost my dignity, and I was very, very grateful to be saved that. And of course, here I was. Fortunately, he left the ignition key, so I had a motor car. I had nothing else. I had no cell phone. I had no wallet. I had nothing, but I had a motor car, so I was able to drive to the nearest police station. Other than that, I've only experienced a couple of burglaries in my home. That's all.
How about you, Vivian?
I've had petty crime with things being stolen, just burglaries, but no physical harm to myself. I think, though, if you ask anyone in the country, they will, if it hasn't happened to them, they know of somebody or they have family who have been either burgled or attacked or hijacked. Kathy, my wife, her sister and her brother have been accosted. It's just such a part of our society, and we maybe don't realize the impact that it has on our thinking. And I think that's why it's so important to focus on the kingdom and to focus on God's law and to be reminded that is what we need to be coming out.
Well, that's where I'd like to actually turn the conversation a little bit towards that.
Well, it's so easy to be, like I say, you become accustomed to that, and before you know it, you're a part of it, and and that's how you're thinking, and you're thinking how you can skimp on your taxes or how you can get away with this or that or whatever else it is, and you find yourself speeding and you find yourself rolling through stop streets without stopping and jumping red lights or whatever else, mm-hmm. because that's the norm. That's in fact, there's if you stop at a stop street and you have a car behind you and there's no traffic around, that car will get annoyed and they'll hoot at you for stopping at the stop street.
Well, we've talked quite a bit here about conditions here in South Africa, which the consensus here is that it's not been the best. It's still a country of great wealth, you know, that we see around us, far better off than many countries in South Central, or for that matter, all of Africa. You know, we're just very, very impressed when we arrive at Tambo Airport and, you know, go to where we're going, and it doesn't seem even different from many places in the United States. But then when you talk about life here and about some of the things that we talked about here as far as security, economics, and so forth, it is a different story. But I'd like to turn our conversation now to what these two gentlemen do. You know, Roy DeMont, as I mentioned, is pastor of the churches here in South Africa, which he has been since about 2011. Where he took on the role of caring for the congregations here. Vivian is more recently ordained elder who lives in Cape Town and cares for the congregation there very ably. Both these men work very, very hard and look out after the people in the United Church of God. But Roy, tell us about the churches here and how you oversee the various congregations here in South Africa.
Well, initially in 2011, when I was ordained as an elder, I was the only elder in South Africa. So I had to travel around to each church area once a month. There were basically four church areas, and they're normally 4 weeks in a month. So I was able to get to each church area once a month. And then over a period of time, I ordained men as deacons and then as elders. And I'm fortunate now to have three very capable men in three of the areas: Arthur Fisher in Johannesburg, Vivian Boerter in Cape Town, and Graham Carley in East London.
And Vivian, what do you do as far as elder in Cape Town?
We tend to get quite a few visitors from people who don't necessarily affiliate themselves with specifically with United Church of God. So we vary between anything from 20 to 60 people on a Sabbath, depending.
Up to 60?
Up to 60. There's one particular group of about 20 people who might join us for maybe two Sabbaths in a month. Mm-hmm. So I look after them. No, it's not a full-time. Kath and I work as well. So I think there is a shortage of people, although a lot of people tend to step in. They're not in any official role or capacity in the church, but they help is always there. So we do okay. I think we're quite a healthy congregation. We're quite a close congregation.
So one thing we find when my wife and I visit the churches in South Africa, of course, this is generally speaking churches that we visit, and when we come, you know, people are very enthusiastic, but whether we've been in Johannesburg or whether we've been in Cape Town, and today when we met here in outside of Durban, we find the people to be exceptionally warm, you know, hospitable, and wanting to talk. Roy, tell me some of the challenges of the church and the needs for the future of the United Church of God in South Africa.
I think, as is the case worldwide with the United Church of God, I think we are an aging church. In that we don't have that many young people come in. And once we're an aging church, then we tend also to be a church which is under more financial pressure, because we don't have the tithe payers that we would have had 10 years earlier. And the other problem too is with an unemployment percentage in the country of somewhere between 35 and 57, there, a lot of people are being retrenched, and the mining industry is going backwards. The building industry has virtually collapsed. Large building corporations have collapsed, and the result is that people are having a problem in that they very often they're being retrenched and they don't have the income. So we have to be very careful in our management. Our South African National Council, we are very, I like to say, I think, responsible in the way we handle money, and we have to be very careful, because if anything, we would probably expect a decline in our income in the future. But that doesn't prevent us from doing the work. We go ahead doing the work as hard as we can. We distribute this wonderful Beyond Today magazine as best we can. And of course, the Beyond Today television program, and particularly with the new studio, is absolutely superb. And we're able to reach quite a few people in the country with that. And the results we get back from time to time show a lot of interest in that television program. We get indication of about 15,000 people watching it on a Sunday.
Well, I think I would add to what Roy's saying about the Beyond Today program. I think it has such tremendous impact, because it's not just it goes so far beyond just theory and expounding on the scriptures. It really tries, and I understand it's a conscious effort on the part of those involved in the church to really reach the heart of an individual, where they could get to the point of saying, well, I need to do something. I need to change something about this, because it makes so much sense, and I can see that it should work, and I need to do something about it. And I think that's what makes it work as well as it does.
Well, I know that all of us at the Home Office are very, very optimistic about what this will do, because we're preaching a message of truth, we're preaching a message of righteousness, we're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we know that somehow in all of this there has to be fruit. God's word does not return to him void, as Isaiah 55:11 speaks. Something is going to come of it.
Absolutely. It doesn't necessarily translate into attendance. In Cape Town, I can't say that is the case, but we do know people are watching it, and just based on comments, people phoning in or sending in letters, it is reaching people. I know that.
So you do make use of it. I mean, I like to hear unsolicited comments from people about, you know, how good we are, so to speak. There's one area I'd like to have some commentary about is the Feast of Tabernacles. I know the Feast of Tabernacles has been one of the most beautiful in the world, with the site being on the Indian Ocean and Ubongo and so forth. And this year there is a change to a new location in Mossel Beach. Roy, tell us about Mossel Bay.
With pleasure, I'll tell you about Mossel Bay.
The feast site was on the east coast of KwaZulu-Natal in the Margate-Ivonga area for, if I remember correctly, about 29 years. And during all of that time, I would have people come to me and say, we would like to move away from Margate-Ivonga. And I would say, not a problem, let's find a venue. And there was never a venue. The Eternal never opened the doors to a new venue. And this went on for, as I say, probably 20 years. And then we decided that that it was time, because of certain problems in the Margate-Ivonga area, we decided to look for a feast site. And we did that with no success at all. Every feast site we went to was an absolute no-no. It was just not acceptable. And then the Eternal opened the doors and he gave us some information that we should be looking at Mossel Bay. Just to reinforce the fact that it was the Eternal's wish, the roof of the 10-year-old, I beg your pardon, the 8-year-old hall that we were meeting in Margate fell down, literally fell down. Toward the end of the Feast of Tabernacles last year.
Was it during a church service?
It began, apparently. I was in Penang. I wasn't there.
Maybe we'll hear a first-hand account right here.
It was about halfway through a sermon, or a split sermon that I was giving.
Oh, okay.
I felt it was going really well until I saw more and more people getting up at the back, which I thought, okay, that happens, and then they took their chairs and they all started shuffling across the hall. And I think I managed to finish the sermon, but we had to vacate the hall pretty much immediately after that.
So the roof was falling in during your sermon.
The ceiling boards were starting to literally cave in. Mm-hmm. It didn't collapse right then, but it was obvious that it was going to happen.
So what'd you do?
So a group of us spent that Friday afternoon literally scrambling, looking for a second hall. We were fortunate to be able to find one. We ended up sharing space with, we were very fortunate that Living Church of God had a feast site a little bit further up the coast, I think. We contacted them and they were open to us sharing not the same space, but part of the space that they were using.
So that pretty much shut down Ivonga, right?
Everything fell into place.
the roof fell in.
sky is falling.
and to this day, that hall hasn't been repaired at all. It's still, I think it's just slowly getting worse. More and more of the roof is caving in. We decided we would make a concerted effort to find another feast site, and we drew up a very specific brief for what we were looking for, and what that is. It is quite different to what we've been having over the years, particularly in the current climate of the country and the negativity that's maybe rubbing off on people. To have a feast site where we are really all together, you don't have to drive. You can walk from your accommodation to the hall, stay there as long as you want, fellowship, go for a meal, also without having to drive anywhere, and just to try and create an environment of 8 days of fellowship and, mm-hmm. and being literally together. And I believe we found that in Mossel Bay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's Mossel Bay.
Okay. How do you spell it? Might as well spell it.
It's Mossel Bay. That's two words, Mossel Bay. Yeah.
What other things now? I've been told it's got clear sandy beaches.
The venue where we are, it's the main hotel where the services will be held is in front of a beautiful stretch of white sand beach. Not fairly calm water.
Yeah, it's calm water, but it's a very calm sheltered bay.
When we were there to go and have a look in June, there were actually two whales which had kind of wandered right up less than 100 meters from the beach. So it is a beautiful area. There's a lot to see around Mossel Bay.
But you don't have to have a car, right?
You don't. And that was also part of the brief where we said we want everybody to be close enough to not need a vehicle, to not have to drive at all, where you could literally from your accommodation walk to the hall, have a service, walk to a place to eat, and spend the day just fellowshipping with people.
And it's I don't think there'll be a security problem there at all, whereas we were running into security problems in the Margate Evonga area. We won't have any kind of security problem there. Overseas visitors need not worry about that. And with the very weak local currency there, US dollar or whatever currency they deal in, is going to go a long, long way, because they'll be quite surprised at how reasonable prices will be here.
So the value is good. The big thing is just getting here. But once you're here, you don't need a car. You have a place that is self-contained with all types of activities, and I feel like you will really benefit from it. Well, I just do want to say that I've really appreciated and enjoyed my conversation with Roy DeMont, pastor of the churches in South Africa, and Elder Vivian Botha, who has joined us right here at the home of Roy DeMont in the Natal, KwaZulu area. So we have appreciated. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity of telling you a little bit about South Africa, and it's not all doom and gloom. And whenever I travel overseas, which I've done fairly often, and I get back to South Africa, I just love it, and I'm so glad to be home.
Vivian? Thanks, Victor. If I could maybe just make one more comment about the Feast in Mossel Bay. We love having international visitors. And we really look forward. We have quite a few. I think we're close to 30 visitors who have registered to join us. And we really do appreciate it. We really do enjoy having them here.
So thank you very much for joining us, Inside United. Come back again soon for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.